It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Ata Marie, I'm very good, thank you very much, Rachel. And, you know, we're 82% vaccinated and 85% dams full this morning. So
nice.
Those are both things to celebrate, and the sun's shining.
It is good to have a bit of all of those three things. Let's talk a little bit more about the vaccination targets. We are going to talk about the Three Waters reform and also some public art in central Auckland. But I do want to touch base on the vaccination targets for Tamaki Makaurau, because we know it's going to be important in the government's decision about alert level changes. We've heard that 90% with the first dose is a target that the government is currently working towards. Now, what is that tracking like here in Tamaki? Is that something that you are seeing we could be working towards in the near future? What's that looking like right now?
Look, I think it's really important to get up to that level of vaccination, and it's good that Auckland's ahead in that regard. As I said, 82, it may have even gone a bit above that, have received at least their first vaccine. The reality is that each further 1%, you know, from about this point, gets that much harder to achieve, because you start to move into the territory where people are either unaware, vaccine hesitant, or out and out anti-vaxxers. But why do we need 90%? Because we need that level of protection, particularly as you know, modeller Sean Hendy has shown.
Mm-hmm.
If we're to keep deaths to a minimum, if we open up the country to the world again.
So this is going to be something that is a long-term target as well as a short-term one. But what's happening at the moment to help people get their vaccines? Because as you say, there is different groups that are perhaps in that vaccine hesitant and, as you say, more sort of staunchly anti-vax position. But how are perhaps those more reticent groups being encouraged into getting the vaccine?
Yeah, look, I think the, you know, staunch anti-vaxxers are probably only about 5 or 6% of the population at best. But what we're seeing, and unfortunately the latest vax figures that we've got are a week old now, so they will have changed quite a bit, but we've got, say, 91% of Asian ethnic groups have had their first jab, 81% of European ethnic groups have had their first jab, but then that drops to Pacific peoples at 66% and Maori at 57%. So clearly what the government needs to target at this point are those communities that are not only the lowest at the lowest levels of vaccinations, but they're also at the highest of COVID infections. And we've seen some big progress in the Pacific communities, and, you know, good on those churches. Said, look, set the vaccination clinic up outside the church, and we'll encourage the congregation to come along and get vaccinated. And we're seeing good leadership from a lot of people in the Maori community, the Maori King, Maori leaders. I think all of the Maori parliamentarians are now saying, hey, this needs to happen. And I participated in the launch of Shot Bro the other day out at the airport park and ride. And the concept of, you know, taking the vaccination up to the people rather than waiting for the people to come to the vaccination, I think is a good one, and becomes increasingly important as we need to target those groups. To Auckland District Health Board, and they've got obviously a full list of those that have been vaccinated, and they'll be starting to make calls across the community by phone, encouraging people that haven't yet been vaccinated to take up the opportunity, telling them where they can get it, and advising them on any questions that they might have.
Now, we also know that young people are a group that are lower vaccination at this point, which makes sense, being the last group eligible to get across the line there. What targeted response are we seeing for youth to get vaccinated?
Yeah, well, look, the obvious answer to that one, I think, and I've written to the minister last week about it, is to say, I'm going back in time now, but when we were at school and there were things like polio and tuberculosis, you know, diseases that have largely been dealt with now by vaccination and practically eliminated, certainly largely eliminated in New Zealand, we all lined up at school and we got our vaccinations. Now, if you're targeting the 12 to 19-year-olds, the best place to do that, of course, is in the institution where they all come together, which is at school. And my belief is now that Pfizer have proved through their tests that they can safely vaccinate at a lower dose the 5 to 12-year-old. Ultimately, I hope not too many months away, we'll be moving to vaccinate our kids as well. So the schools will be a key part of that. And what I said in my letter to the minister is I know the anti-vaxxers are out protesting outside the schools, but they're a loud group, but they're a very small group. We've got to ignore them, and we've got to do what science and health professionals tell us is best to keep our people safe. And that means, you know, the schools will be a key area where we vaccinate not only the kids, but also encourage them. If mum and dad, you know, or anybody else in the family hasn't had the vaccination yet, come along to the school and get your vax there.
Well, that will be interesting to see how that rolls out in the future weeks. Let's talk a bit about the Three Waters reform, which we've touched on quite a lot in the last couple of months, but it is a crucial week this week. It is the last week of consultation. Now, Auckland Council and yourself, you've been very critical of the reform as it's been laid out by Local Government Minister Nanaia Mahuta and the rest of the team working on that at the moment. What are the alternatives that Auckland Council would like to see to what is being currently proposed by the government? Because I think it is well established that reform is needed in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, and we've agreed with that. We've said, look, you know, we've got a water services entity that services 1.6 million, but there are a lot of water service entities out there. There's 67 of them that are only servicing, you know, tens of thousands of people, and that's really hard just to get the economies of scale and the professionalism and the, you know, things that you can achieve with larger scale. So we've said, look, we support larger scale. We support having a water quality regulator and an economic regulator. So we're fine with that, and we're fine with the government's objectives. What and council...
Sorry, you know, would you be able to just repeat that? Your phone just cut out a little bit there. Would you just be able to repeat that sentence?
Yeah, we've got a bad line because I'm losing you a bit from time to time as well. Yeah, so what we've said, look, we're fine with the economies of scale, and we've already got that in Auckland, 1.6 than any other entity that will be formed. We're fine with having a water quality regulator and an economic regulator because you've got to have standards across the country, and we would meet the water quality standard without a doubt. What we're against, and every councillor voted for the submission that I've drafted to go down to government, and every local board also supported the changes that we wanted to make about governance. We don't want to have these entities set up that are accountable to nobody. They need to be accountable to the people who built up those assets, the people they serve.
So what would that look like?
The elected representatives.
Okay,
well, Auckland.
We have seen trouble with elected representatives on boards in the past, the DHB system being quite a good example of that. In what ways would we be able to perhaps make that more effective in the case of something like water?
Yeah, well, Auckland is a good role model for the rest of the country because we elect we appoint a board to water care, and that's appointed through elected representatives, and they have to give effect to the major strategies that we set out. But that board is competency-based, and their operational decisions, including setting water rates, are independently determined. So in that sense, Auckland is a good role model for the rest of the country. But what we don't want to have is effectively the ownership and the control over those entities built up by Aucklanders, stripped away from Aucklanders who would have no more control over water than they do over power or telecommunications if these reforms. So we're saying keep with our model, extend our model to the rest of the country. We'll look at how we can make some changes, and you can provide some support, because central government provides no support for water at the moment. It's all done through council and through ratepayers on their water rates. We can make this model work for you, but you've got to be flexible in response to our flexibility. And what we aren't going to do is give away ownership and control over $10, $11 billion worth of assets that Aucklanders currently own and control.
Well, it will be very interesting to see what happens across the rest of the country in the following weeks. Phil, we might have to wrap it up this morning. Normally, we would jump into our third topic, which would be talking about some public art, but our line is a little bit dodgy, so I think we might just have to leave it there today, unfortunately. But we very much appreciate your time and your kōrero this morning as well. And maybe we'll come back to public art next week when we have a chat. I hope you have a good one.
Rachel.
And we'll just keep watching those numbers on the COVID updates and doing all the things we're supposed to do to hopefully be moving soon. So thanks very much for your time.
Okay, mā te wā.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.